We all know about the middle class and suburban boom in the U.S. following World War II. But as the Postal Service's Maureen Marion explains, that wasn't the only thing booming.
Not only boom times for growth, but boom times for the volume of mail that was coming forward.
Advertising, business mail, postcards, you name it. From $10 billion in 1933 to $20 billion in 44 to $30 billion in 56. A promo video from the era tells the tale.
Literally, the post office stands to be swamped, overwhelmed, drowned in a sea of mail.
The Postal Service needed a fix. In the 1940s, some large metro areas, like Boston, started to divide their mail delivery into zones, each represented by a two-digit number. Mike Powers, who runs the Greater Boston Postal District, explains.
It was called the Postal District Code, so it would be Boston 21, Massachusetts, and that would highlight the area.
But the system wasn't universal, and it quickly proved inadequate. And so they scaled it up, launching the Zone Improvement Plan, an elegant, ultimately simple system known by the serendipitous acronym ZIP. The first of five digits indicates one of nine regions in the country.
The zero represents Massachusetts, Vermont, New Hampshire,
one is Maine,
Delaware, Pennsylvania,
all
Maryland.
The way over to a first digit of nine, which is California.
The next two numbers, which sectional center the mail goes to.
The Springfield area is 010. 011 is Berkshire's. And then you work east, so 012, 025, and 026 are the Cape and the Islands.
Then the last two are essentially your town or your local post office. ZIP has proved incredibly resilient. In 1983, the post office got even more specific with ZIP plus 4. But thanks to technology, you don't even need to know the plus 4.
Technology will read the mail piece, reads the address, and actually assigns that four-digit add-on to the mail piece and spray the appropriate barcode on the mail piece. And it's ultimately the barcode which allows us to process and sort the mail so that we can present it to our carriers in walk sequence.
It's hard to imagine now, given its success, but when the ZIP code was first launched in July of 1963, it wasn't mandatory and it wasn't immediately embraced. So a full-fledged marketing blitz was unleashed, complete with a mascot.
This is Mr. Zip.
That's pretty cool. They had Mr. Zip.
And for the Hepcats, the swingin' six. It worked, in large part because the system worked. Not only did the zip code become universal, it grew into a phenomenon.
Zip codes provide an identity. TV show 90210, way back when.
And when growth in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, recently forced the post office to add a second new zip code for parts of that neighborhood.
One fellow who was interviewed in the paper, and he said, "Oh, this is terrible. I'm going to have to change my tattoo." And he rolled up his arm, and he had 11211 tattooed on his arm.
And it's not just the cultural piece. The 911 system is grafted over it. It's crucial to the census. Marketers use it to target customers, political candidates to customize their message, economists and activists to build their cases. All of it possible, thanks to the mail.
All those other applications are not something that anyone really understood to be a ramification.
And yet,
it works like a charm.
The Zone Improvement Plan, better known as the ZIP Code, launched in Massachusetts and across the country 52 years ago this week. From the Curiosity Desk, I'm Edgar B. Herwick III, WGBH, Boston's local NPR.
And now, my friend,
we'll say so long.
We hope you're singing
our zip code song.
We've told you everything we know.
It's up to you to make zip code go.
You know you gotta have a zip code.
Everything will be all, everything will be.